Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Great.
Yay.
Okay, so thank you for being on the Shift Podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for your patience as well, trying to organize all this. But for the listeners, we have Katie Hannigan, Sarah Tomash. That always feels so unnatural because you're not here. For the future listeners. And you guys have the podcast Lady Journal. Is that what it's called?
Lady Journey.
Yeah, Lady Journey.
It's a journey into the experience, the feminine experience. We do eco, self-care, decor, food, fashion.
Beauty.
It's all around elevating your lifestyle, and that is the Lady Journey.
Yes.
I love how my dyslexic head was like, yes, Lady Journal.
Well, we have done journaling.
We have done journaling. Yes. That's a journey in itself.
It truly is.
Yes.
Do you like journaling?
I do.
Really?
Yeah. I journal every night, but I do. I got a 5-year journal.
Yes.
So you write a few sentences of what you do that day, and then it's fun. You can compare what you did the year previous year. Yeah. And it's the same thing. No growth.
And I'm still here.
I'm still
journaling.
TikToks.
Yeah. I do free writing every day. But it really, at this point, it has become more to help deal with my negative thoughts, challenging my own negative thoughts. But lately, I have been trying to shift it more towards like kind of reworking through the previous day and going back over like just going back over and processing it in a different way of being like, oh, that was a funny moment.
Yeah,
you know,
like, what's funny?
Just realized I forgot to turn off the air conditioner.
Oh my gosh, should we start over?
I think, no, it's fine. I'll just, I'll reintroduce you guys afterwards if it's terrible. But
sure.
Okay, just in
but,
case.
Yeah, well, we were just talking about journaling and you were saying that it helps you get rid of the negative thoughts.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, I have done, I do like free writing, like in the style of the morning pages from like the artist way.
Man.
Yeah. I would do that. So I would just put 30 minutes on the clock and just write with no purpose whatsoever. I'm just writing my thoughts for 30 minutes. And what ends up happening is like, if I'm not feeling good, I will be writing negative thoughts and then I will take it an opportunity to be like, why am I feeling this way? Where's it coming from? How would I prefer to feel? And can I get myself to like a better feeling state?
So, but with the Artist Way, I have the book. I just never read it.
Mm-hmm. You do have to read it. That's part of the way. It is absolutely.
I still have to listen to the podcast as well. You see, yeah. I'm the type of person where I'm like, yes, how are all these things that will help me? And then I procrastinate. I get like so much anxiety about like listening or reading the things that will help me, which is really bad.
Yeah. No, I get it. We all do.
Yeah. We always talk about that on Lady Journey too, of like, it's just kind of funny to start things and then never finish them.
That is absolutely a lady journey to get violently into overnight oats, for example, and then after 2 weeks you're like, I'll never do it again.
No, it's
it was the love of my life, and it's the one that got away, the one of many. They're all always getting away.
It's also sometimes you overdo it, so you'll be like, oh, smoothies are great, they're so healthy, and you'll have 14 in a row for 14 days and then you want to vomit on the 15th one.
So absolutely. I know. Well, I think it's definitely easy to get like that with food stuff because you know, you're like, help, I want to be skinny, and then you know, you get the, it's like dieting, like the what's that, the back and forth dieting,
the yo-yo
dieting. You know, it's like that with any area in self-improvement. You have to get like, go for like the sustained, balanced,
long-term
elevation of the self, self-actualizing. I'm just saying words now. I'm just saying
jargon.
Namaste.
Word salad.
Beach, ocean.
Yeah. Travel. Travel blog.
I feel like when you start a journey, that's the problem with it, is that you feel like if you're not doing it, you're a failure. And I say jump ship all the time.
Oh, yes.
Like, don't feel bad that you haven't even looked at art this way.
Don't
you don't want to do it.
Celebrate yourself.
Yeah, celebrate it.
Yeah, I also thought that the artist way, when it was, I'd heard about the free writing, but I thought it was for comedy, and it's kind of like, oh, I don't want to do another thing for.
I get that. I do feel like I enjoyed the artist way only because I used to get, like, when I was writing, I would get like a lot of anxiety sitting in my room, like writing for my hour, but I would be like, I don't know what to write about. And instead of actually writing, I would just be like having the experience of anxiety and like just creating this like block within myself. But with Artist Way and with other like exercise books that I've read, or like comedy exercise books, I'm like, oh, instead of me writing for an hour, all I have to do is just complete the chapter of this book.
Yeah.
And so then I just do that, and I don't have the fear of the abyss and like just spinning off into like the like a black hole of like self introspection, you know.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I actually, now that you're saying that, I'm like, okay, that is a better way. I also think when you're talking about free writing, but not, let's say, for comedy or just for your like thoughts to get them out on the page. Mm-hmm. I remember my dad when I was younger, and I was like going through something, and he was like, write all this down because a bad pen is better than a good memory. But I was like, I don't want to remember this. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, I'm not writing this shit down.
Yeah.
But you do move on from it once it's kind of down, because it is an obsession.
Yeah. It helps you process it. I've always done free writing since I started doing stand up. I would just do like start with like 10 minutes a day. Or if I would like write for an hour a day, for example, I would just start 10-minute free writing.
Yeah.
And I think that's an easier way than being like immediately going to like 30 minutes. You know, 10 minutes, you're like, oh, easy. Set a timer and then you go for it.
I also think for people who aren't great with writing, because I've tried to do the free writing before and I don't even know what to, my brain just goes blank. Like, there's no thoughts, if that makes sense. But I found free talking really helpful. So like, I do like a solo podcast on the Patreon a lot of times.
Oh, there you go.
Just talking
into
like at my wall, or even just voice messaging my friends back home. Sometimes I'm like telling stories, and it's like that helps me figure out what a bit I should work on.
That's so great. I'm doing free talking. I'm just like talking at people all the time. I'm just like calling my boyfriend like, hi, having thoughts.
No, because I work the same way, because I don't really write jokes on page. It's really through conversation, because your mind kind of through conversation, you go down avenues that you wouldn't normally go down by yourself.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Totally.
Exactly. Plus, when I write, it's not the way I talk. Plus, the first thing that comes to my head, like, I've trained myself to just say it out of my mouth, if that makes sense. And that's usually more funny than anything I could have thought of.
Yes.
Like, if I'd sat down. Because I'm just not, like, a genius of idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're circumnavigating your, like, critical brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you write, you do have, like, that, like, ugh, is this stupid?
Yeah. I need a thesis statement.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, boring structurally.
Yeah, I work out all the ideas on stage. So I need all the stage time just to work out jokes.
Yeah. I feel like we're very similar in that aspect. Because sometimes there's like some comics I can watch them, like, I can totally tell that they wrote this. Yeah. This is structural. Because there's like a thesis and then like
it's
supporting
like
bullet points.
Plant the premise.
Yeah.
Then there's an act out, a tag, a mix. Yeah. What if it was on space?
Yes.
What if dating was on Mars? And then a big closer, usually an analogy.
Yeah.
I cannot do analogies. They hurt my boyfriend is such a great writer, and he has given me so many like, you should do this analogy, you should do that. And I'm like, I'll try to even say it, and all of a sudden I can't even say the word that he said, and it's like it doesn't make sense out of my mouth.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It's not
how
men are smarter.
Yeah.
Men are smarter.
They know things.
I have to say, like, I'm never funnier than when I am like joking privately to my boyfriend, and it will never, and I'm just like letting it rip. I'm just only making jokes for him, for like his sensibility. I'm trying to like capture it for the stage, but I really can't, because I'm like, these people don't like want to snuggle me.
Yeah.
Like, they won't get it.
Yeah. I love doing crowd work, and I obviously know that it's also great to have as much material as possible. So it's like really important not to get lost in the crowd work. Mm. But that's where you can get some gems, just yes. like interacting with the audience, because whatever you get with them and the whole audience laughs, you're like, it's like recapturing that moment with your boyfriend, but you have an audience that's like, yes, we agree with that weird yeah. thing you just said.
Yeah, it's a magical moment when you are able to, you know, I think to do crowd work, you have to be free enough to like take risks and like bomb a little bit yeah. and let yourself allow yourself to bomb until you hit on like one good thing. But yeah, it is a great feeling when you're like, wow, I got him.
Yeah,
I just said this finance guy probably lives in Soho.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
But then sometimes like with crowd work I've had where I'm like, later on, I'm like, that didn't even make sense. But they just were on board because of the rhythm of it.
Yes, that's so hilarious. Yeah,
and
that's
it, because
so true.
It felt like it was in the moment. And you're like, but grammatically and like in the moment, yeah. that didn't really connect logically.
You're not even wearing a hat. They're like, no, she said it. So I think like the thing with that's crowd so work true. Is like one of the reasons why it is like considered easier. I do think it is actually easier, but it's because like, you know, it is a fear to get up and perform in front of people. And it seems like it's like, is this even a fear anymore? Because everyone is a comedian
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
But to get up and perform, and then there is an illusion that crowd work is difficult. So they think that you're doing something really hard when you're just like making a very obvious observation.
Yeah.
So I think they perceive it as like, oh my God, you're like flying. You're like doing tightrope with no net.
Yeah. And then I have go-tos for crowd work.
Yeah.
You end up getting your thing. You're like, I know this kind of works in the crowd work.
You got to yeah. do it. You got to do it sometimes, especially if they need it. You
yeah.
know?
I yeah. also think it depends, because when you see like unique crowd work, you're like, oh, this is great. But there is obviously the, oh, you do cocaine or, oh,
yeah.
You're,
yeah.
You know, from Ireland, potatoes.
Yeah, right. 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 Which it works.
Yeah.
They love it. Yeah. If you tell somebody that they look like something, the crowd will be like, on board, even though it might be wrong. You're like, you
might
look like
wrong. Yeah.
a stormtrooper that raps, and they're like, oh my God, he does.
Yeah.
He does.
A stormtrooper that raps. I know, it could be just like so like asinine, and they're just like, wow, the mind of a comedian.
Yeah. But I've had bits where I truly don't know why people are laughing or why it's funny. It's just like, maybe it was an idea I wanted to work out, but I thought a different part would be funny, and then they're laughing at that part. And then I've had to be like, ask another comedian, like, why is that funny?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're like, oh, and it's usually because I'm an immigrant and I don't really realize. But like, I'm usually kind of shocked. I'm like, wait, why are you laughing? Why?
Yeah.
That's not the funny part. I don't understand.
Yeah. But you have like a funny way of talking, you know, like you have a thing that's like very similar to Daniel Simonson, where it's like, because you're talking in a funny way, you become like you as a person. Become like this comedic character, even though you're not necessarily like, hi, you know, which is kind of what I do sometimes, where it's like just immediately like embodying a character that's like me. Oh, my husband, I stole his money, you know, something like that, you know. So it's like, then people are like, oh my God, like this is a funny person. It's not yeah. just someone telling jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense.
Or they're just hearing your thought process. Because sometimes I feel like with comedy or stand-up comics like this, you don't necessarily have to be funny off stage. You have to have the ability to explain what's going on in your mind.
Yeah. Yes. And a self-awareness.
Yeah.
Or otherwise you or completely no self-awareness at all.
Yeah.
That's like the only other that's male comedians.
Yeah. Well, I feel like someone like Nate Bargatze, you're like, he's just telling you what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like it's joke format, but it is joke format.
Yeah.
But he's just telling you his thought process or his problem solving.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Nate Bargatze. I love his comedy. It's so organic.
Yes. Yeah. Very organic.
No, he's great.
Yeah. That organic quality is something I think that like really has to come from like tapping into your subconscious and like accessing the flow state. And you don't necessarily get that from like, you know, sitting down and writing for an hour.
Yeah. You and know? That's like probably when somebody's laughing at something that you've said and you're like, oh, that, I didn't even think that was like the funny part.
Yeah, yeah. And then it turns out, you know, I'm like, I'll use it and I'll work it into, but that, and that's the thing. I'm not afraid to say something stupid or it not to work, if that makes sense. I'd rather have that stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
Because that's where
that's important.
The weirdest shit is going to come out.
Yeah, that people can't take that from you. Because I was telling Katie, she had a tweet the other day that I really liked that I just thought was so what you were thinking. That
yes.
I feel like nobody else would think it. Was talking about she's living near two Dunkin' Donuts and noticed that one is amazing.
Exquisite.
Where the baristas are thriving and the other one is just a sad, dismal place.
It is a nightmare.
And to choose the one that is how you're feeling that day.
Yeah.
I'm like, nobody has that experience. And I thought that was, that's just like tapping into, that's your thought process. And I think that's where people are like, I love that. Because I wouldn't think that way.
I want to do more of that. It is like my journey of where I'm going now of like developing more organic writing instead of like when you sit down and you're like, I have to come up with a joke.
Punchline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Premise, punchline. I have to come up with a joke in this hour. It's like, well, you can. And that's why I think like a lot of late night writing is not like hysterical, laugh out loud, funny, because it hasn't gone through that like process of like thinking of something and then like letting it develop in your subconscious. I went to the bad Dunkin' yesterday, by the way. And
did you go to the good one today? Oh, no, this is a different place.
That's Bodega.
Oh, no.
I went to the bad Dunkin'. Well, now I'm like obsessed with the bad Dunkin' because it's like really fun. Like every time I go in there, like something psychotic is happening. Like a woman was screaming about her ice cream. Mike and I went in yesterday. He was like, you want to go to the good Dunkin' or bad Dunkin'? I'm like, bad Dunkin'. I only want to go to the bad Dunkin'. We didn't pay. We had a gift card. They have to swipe the gift card. The guy like was like, put it in. And we're like, you don't do that. He's like, just put it in. It didn't go through. We didn't pay. We didn't pay.
Check out
the
this
guy.
Bad Dunkin'.
Oh, my God. The guy had I can't tell you the number of stains he had on his shirt, like dark black stains. And you're like, what are those stains of? Because this is a coffee store. Like this is coffee and donuts. And he just had like it looked like oil just all over. We didn't pay. He didn't care. We're like, we just got free, like, bad Dunkin' forever.
No, I love businesses that are run poorly where I'm like this. What? You? I don't understand. Like, I'm just feeling depression all over the place here. Like, when they're not, have an unloaded stock.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just, like, everywhere in the store, you're like, what is happening in here?
What is happening? Like, is there, like, what is the owner, like, do they have any... Like one time we went in the bad Dunkin'.
Standards. No standards.
No standards. One time we went in there, there was like seven guys just like hanging out in the back and talking. It reminded me of when I was in high school, I had a lot of friends work at this same Subway. And they were always just like we would smoke pot inside of the
Insomnia
Subway.
Cookies is like that. I go in there and I'm like, who works here?
Yeah.
This is mayhem. It's people are sleeping on the cooler. It smells like pot in there.
Oh,
you're
my God.
Like, I'm just a cop when I come in there. I'm like, what is happening?
Cookies. I need cookies. Insomnia, not my favorite cookie place, by the way.
No, I think it's a little overrated.
Yeah.
We have an Insomnia in Ireland, but it's a coffee shop.
Oh, that makes more sense.
That makes more sense. Yes. Yeah. Insomnia cookies. They just feel like because they, I don't know,
they
put cookies
cook
in an oven.
Way.
Yeah. And you sell it at 2 a.m. It means it's like cool.
No.
No, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
Open so late as well. I guess that is for weed people.
It's like when you're drunk, you're like, this is amazing.
Oh, drunk people, yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, it's just fucking, I don't know, C+ cookies at 2 a.m.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
My new favorite cookie, Levain. Oh my God. It's
is
like 600 calories.
One?
Yeah. It's like a meal. Yeah.
Wait, where's the Levain?
It's almost like a squished muffin.
Yes.
It's a muffin
consistency
top.
Of a muffin.
Yeah.
They have a few all over. They have one in Astoria, I feel like.
There is. I think you go up past close to Steinway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never go to like treat places. Like I'll
really?
Go have a coffee.
That's
but
you
yeah.
look great probably.
Yeah, well, your skin looks amazing.
Oh, thank you. Not my head right now. I got sunburned on the top of my head yesterday and so it's
oh
all
God,
like
that
chunk,
was so
like,
Irish
flakes.
Of you.
I love
yeah.
I know. I put sunscreen everywhere, factor 50, and it got the like grease in my hairline.
You gotta spray. You have to spray.
I don't know.
Or you
I
just
know.
Put it in like a hot dog. Like you just put your sunblock in
like
it's mustard on a hot dog.
Well, I had a show that night. I was going straight from the beach. So, but I put a hat on. So it was only like while I was in the water. But that fucking sun gets you.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
I forgot to put on my extra. I have lotion with sunscreen, but I have been putting on an extra.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I'm a hat person.
Your skin, both your skins look great.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have been eating right, which I don't like doing.
Yeah,
I have to eat right.
I'm like malnutrition for the second year with the annual, and the doctor was just like, just eat fruit, yeah, veg. Like she's fed up with me.
I know. Really. But you're but it doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
I hate the consistency of fruit. I'm such a child.
Really?
Well, yeah, I'll eat a full watermelon. I'm like, is that fruit? I'll just eat a watermelon in an entire day. And it's like,
romaine lettuce. You're like, is that a vegetable? And you're like, that's just water.
Yeah.
Just water.
Yeah.
You know, Subway in Ireland, I believe it doesn't exist anymore because the bread was in European standards, it can't be called bread, it's cake.
It's yoga mats.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard is like.
Nathan, I heard it was because it was the consistency of cake. It's the.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Having cake sandwiches.
People say that we put too much sugar on our stuff here. Yeah. Like they say breads are different in Europe than they are here.
I love that. I love that list. I think I must have seen it on TikTok or something. It was like all the things, American foods that are like banned in Europe. It was like Skittles,
hot dogs,
Gatorade. Yeah, hot dogs.
Those monster drinks or something.
Oh, yeah. Monster energy drinks.
Yeah. I just heard on, and I get all my medical information from TikTok. And
yes, as do I.
I'm like, that's the truth from now on.
I was on a podcast the other day and I was like, yeah, this like whale ate its owner's. Or its trainer's penis right off, and they were like looking it up and it didn't come anywhere, and I was like, I don't know, I saw it on TikTok.
So it's fact.
Yeah, it goes into your mind in a way that you actually subconsciously perceive it as like watching the news.
Yeah. Like they were saying energy drinks can lead to heart disease.
Well,
so that's my new medical fact I'm just spreading out there as misinformation.
Yeah. Well, you know, Eric Bergstrom used to drink like 7 Red Bulls a day, and he was in a class action lawsuit because a lot of people that were like drinking Red Bull that much got Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Jesus. That's fucked.
Yeah.
That is
so
fucked.
Like, you know, it's like fucked up that you're drinking that many Red Bulls a day, first of all. Like, come on.
Well, I've been digging the Daily Harvest controversy on TikTok, how it spiked everyone's enzymes and people had their kidneys taken out or something weird like that.
It was like a
mushroom balls or some kind of plant-based snack or something.
I thought it was like legumes.
Was it?
It was like, that's what I saw on Twitter. I thought it was like legumes that were like crumbling and then it was like toxic somehow. Yeah. But then I was like, I didn't look into it. I was like, not today.
No. I'm not ordering any Daily Harvest. That sounds like, I don't know, some zombie shit to me.
Yeah. Oh, Daily Harvest is the smoothies though. Yeah. So maybe it was like, I don't like any of that stuff either because it's too expensive. It's like,
yeah, and it's pre-made and it's like I was minding Lindsay's cat. So she's never going to listen to this, so it's fine. But she was being very nice and brought over her like meals that she pays for. And they're obviously very expensive, but it was like shrimp taco that lasts for like it was like a week expiration date. And I was like, I don't think the shrimp should be in your fruit. That freaks me out. I don't like any of this.
Yeah.
It's like, it's good for you, but is it good for you? I don't know. It's just saying.
Yeah. I like fresh. I'd rather just like order food if I was going to do that. But I cook like a lot of my own.
Yeah, I need to get back to go. Once I live with Leland, it'll be easier. It's kind of hard because right now I'm like floating between the two.
Yeah, so that's rough. The worst.
When we were at the beach yesterday, this just reminded me of, because I'd never see this in Ireland. And a good many of the listeners are Irish. But, you know, like the whole thing with food and stuff.
We have Irish people. That's fun.
Yeah. The main, it's so strange because I need to promote this. I will. I'm going to do a few clips for the Instagram. But like, because my Instagram is mainly Americans and my podcast is mainly Irish people. So I don't know why there's no crossover. Yeah. But yeah, the Irish, like, we just want to hear your voice. The Americans are like, we just want to see your jokes. I don't know. But we were at the beach and there was this guy and he came in. Into the store with his shirt off, which you would never see back home.
No, that's very nice. Joe and I were saying that in people in the 70s and 80s, all your uncles would have their shirts off.
Yeah.
That was a thing, and like, you don't see that anymore. And now when you do see somebody walking down the street with their shirt off, man, you're
it's
like...
terrifying.
It's terrifying. Like, something bad's going to happen.
You know, they were like, free the nipple. I was like, no, let everybody put our nipples away. I don't want to be seeing man's
yes,
nipples as
exactly.
well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's Jesus like just Christ. Everyone should wear a shirt.
Yeah, and into a store. You know the way like it says no dogs, it should also say like wear a shirt. It's like you can't be walking a hand. Like,
no shirt, no shoes, no service.
Yeah. And he wore these like shorts that were like 3 sizes too small as well. So his like package was very bulging and his arse. And he was very fit. He was very like muscly and his arse was very bulging. And we were kind of like laughing because it was like three also foreign girls there. And we were just like, it's like so silly.
Yeah.
And then he left and then he came back with his sandwich and he was like, I said no mayo. And we were just like dying. Like, this is the most ridiculous.
Oh my God,
thing.
Of course he doesn't eat mayo.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. With that, yeah, with that body of his.
It's to slather on him. He was so fucking oily.
Oh my God. Now, what was the footwear on this guy? I'm kind of curious.
It was... Yeah. You know, I they're like these Nike runners that have the little bouncy parts on one side.
Okay.
At the end, they're like little screws or something. And then he bounced all the way, like they're like kind of like gravity boots, and he bounced all the way to the beach. And I was like, look at him running, like we're watching him, even though we were watching him, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. He sounds magical.
I know he was in the water then by himself, like
a prince of the beach.
Like, what's that guy? Like an Ariel, but a man version.
Oh, mermaid.
Yeah.
Merman.
Yeah.
That's my God. That's a good luck for 7 years.
That's a what?
You're going to have good luck for 7 years.
A mythical Brooklyn creature.
Yeah.
Which beach were you at? Rockaway?
Rockaway, yeah.
That sounds like it.
Yeah.
You cannot go swimming in Rockaway. It's really dangerous there, the undertow. You should be careful.
Oh, yeah. No. I was out. There was shark warnings, too.
Oh,
apparently there's a lot of sharks lately.
Oh,
I know. They're coming for us.
Yeah.
That's fine with me. I don't really swim at the beach. I do in Aruba. I'll go in a little bit.
You can see the water. You can see the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, if a fish, gets me, it does freak me out. And I'm just, in for the day.
Yeah.
In for the day.
It freaks me out, too. The way they slither up or a jellyfish comes up at you. Oh, no. Yeah. No, I can't. Mm. I didn't. I was very much we need to go back for our stuff.
Yeah. I think somebody's by our towels.
Yeah. I had one time. I was at Cape May with a guy I was dating. This is 10 years ago. And I was so afraid to go in the water because I hadn't really been to the beach that much at that point in my life. I really had only been to the beach maybe 5 or 6 times. And I was afraid of a shark, so I wasn't going in. And then he talked me into go on a boogie board. So I was doing the boogie board. I'm this is fun. Okay, I'm doing it. And then all of a sudden he was Katie. And I was oh my God, what? A shark, right? And I was and I was running out. But he was just saying that because one of my nipples was out.
Always.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard to find a bathing suit that you can play in properly.
Yes.
Without your nipple coming out.
They pop. I have one pieces. I will just wear one piece now if I swim.
Now into Speedos. They're tight.
Yeah.
No nipples coming out of a Speedo.
What's a Speedo?
It's a swim team bathing suit. Oh, so it's crisscross back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I
have Baywatch.
Those.
Yeah, Baywatch. Well, not as... That's not even a proper bathing suit. Them lifeguarding in those bathing suits, their nipples ridiculous. Would be out all the time.
Ridiculous, yeah.
I remember watching this movie with Blake Lively where she was a surfer and she dealt with the shark. She couldn't get back to shore, so she was stranded on a rock. She was a great white. But she was just in a string bikini, and not once in this movie did her nipple pop out. And I was this is... My nipple would be out the whole entire movie and any turmoil.
Yeah, and my cooch probably too. It's just popping out. This thing. You're just freaking out naked
and
with
the
nature.
And waves assault you. They pull your shit off you.
The waves are misogynist.
They're me tooing everybody. Yes.
Harvey Wavestein.
Title. That's your title of your podcast.
Harvey Weinstein. Because last week it was Brendan was there, Sam was there, and Leland was there. This week was just girls, but my top kept, my boob kept popping out, and my underwear kept falling down, and my boyfriend kept being your boob is out, and I'm just deal with it. It's at this point, I can't,
Yeah.
Every time you pull it back up, it's poosh.
Yeah.
And then you're your labia is just out. Have you ever... Dina, have you ever looked at a photo and noticed that your nipple's out? Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, well, I had something similar during my friend's wedding. When I was the officiant of the wedding, I couldn't help but notice when we did take wedding photography in the broad daylight, and I had I just didn't wear a bra with my outfit because I never wear a bra with that outfit, but I'm seeing it, I'm I can see the outline of my fucking nipple in the wedding photography. I'm and I don't have little nips, okay? It was saucer. Hello. I'm like, oh my God. And so then like, it sent me into a spiral because as again, I was officiating the wedding. Thank God it was like cocktail lighting, like once we got in the thing. But I'm like, was I just like marrying my friends with my nipples on display? Like,
I hope your love is lasts long and hard like my nipples.
Yeah.
You're like, you're not supposed to wear white to a wedding. And Katie's like, watch this. I'm going to steal your thunder.
I have a pointed speech to make. Oh my God. I've been hanging around with dad joke men for too long.
Please. They were not even pointy. It was like the flat outline of my areola. Sorry to say that on podcast. That's a bit of an overshare that I'm like, well.
No. It's the, you actually was like, got me thinking because it's like, it's a woman journey. Sorry. I know that's like.
Yeah. You have to make sure. Like if I one time wore a halter dress that I thought looked really cute, but sometimes with a halter dress. Can't really wear a bra because it's the back situation.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll pop away, and I remember getting a photo, and it was just a flaccid nipple. You're like, can it at least be like perky instead of just like flaccid?
I know, it's embarrassing. Sad nip. Just fully in a depression.
But it was like when you see that in your no, it was the whole night that you're like, well. Clearly everybody was watching this.
Yeah.
So
yeah, a disaster unfold.
Yeah. So you just like recall the rest of the night. You're like, that makes sense why there was that kind of staring going on. Yeah.
There's so many things you have to watch out for when you I don't really wear too little outfits anyway, just because lack of confidence. But even like if you have like if you have a top that's too here, you could have a stray nipple hair pop out. You got fucking
absolutely.
There's so many things we have to take care of.
Or you can wear a black top, thinking black is not going to show anything, but you get a flash of a bulb and it's sheer, so you can see the outline of your underparts. That it would happen a lot to celebrities on the red carpet, not realizing their outfit was see-through until the flash of the bulb went through.
Yeah.
I've had skirts thinking that they were totally fine, and then you stand in front of sunlight beaming through it and you're just like, I'm naked.
Yeah. This is a laser. I had one time where ahead, Katie. Should I go?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna go. The American Katie is gonna go. I had one where I went to Vegas for my 24th birthday, and my girlfriend was living there at the time. And I remember, like, you know, in Vegas, like, have you ever been, Katie?
Yeah.
You know, like, the style, the fashion in Vegas is, like, unlike anywhere in the world that I've ever experienced, where it is, like, you really do just, like, dress like a stripper. You're just, like, this is that is the aesthetic. And I didn't have anything that was, like, that slutty that I wanted to, like, but I wanted to, like, go all out. I ended up wearing a shirt that I was, like, oh, this is a dress. And my ass was out. I mean, my cheeks were out. And my friend who was, he was like hosting us and like taking us around. He kept being like, your ass is out. Like, what are you doing? Like
Vegas,
tugging
baby.
It down. Yeah. I'm like, it's fine. It's my birthday. I'm just like hammered with like only like Donald ducking it. Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Those are like my anxiety dreams. Wearing a shirt that's not covering me properly.
When I went to Vegas, I went with a big group of girls.
Oh, that's fun.
But no, I was like, they were like shocked by the outfits I brought because I had no idea you're meant to wear like really fun
bodycon.
Glitter. And so they like made me wear their clothes, even down to the bikini. And I didn't bring any sandals or anything because it was only like a weekend. So I just had like my Nike runners. So like I was wearing like Nike runners with this like flashy bathing suit, and they were all losing their fucking minds.
Oh my gosh. That's fun. I had a similar experience the first time I went to Vegas where I was just like wearing my like librarian. You know, like, oh, I'm just wearing like a little like knee length skirt. And people are like, oh, you look Mormon.
Yeah, that's always weird. I remember in my early 20s, maybe like not even that, like 19, I went to live in England for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I remember these girls were like wanting to take me out. They were just being nice. And I came down, and American going out for me in America was just wearing like pants. Like, and just like a t-shirt with sneaks. And I remember it was a culture shock. They were like, you can't wear that. Like, I had to go up and wear, like, get a proper outfit. Like, it was, I didn't know that you went out in England at that time.
I love that.
It's the same in Ireland. That's what I loved about New York. Now, if you're going to the pubs in Ireland, you just dress casual. But like, if you're going on a night out, there's a lot of like night out, and especially when you're younger, dressing up. And even I see my sisters now, and they wear like gorgeous outfits, all the makeup and fake tan. And I loved about New York, because I hate all that. So I was just like, oh, I can just wear. And like
whatever.
Sneakers are like
athleisure. Yeah.
Love athleisure. I love a tracksuit.
Yeah, you could go out on with your Adidas shorts and it's like stylish. It's like whatever.
Yeah. But there was like you had to go put on a dress, and I remember just being like, I felt so out of place.
Yeah.
Of showing and being like, "Oh, I had no idea that this is you guys go out
and wear heels."
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of like that. I do wear sneakers, but I try to wear like nice tops and stuff on weekends just for shows, you know.
I'm going to start doing that, cuz I'm like, you know, I'm still, well, I am 32 this year, so
happy
I've started
birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, happy birthday this year.
Happy birthday year. This is your year. 32.
It's
your
birthday. It's me. But I just, yeah, I want to dress. I keep seeing people dress like more like sexy, and I never really, I'm always like cute, and I'm like, I think I want to get more.
This is a lady journey.
This is totally a lady journey. Yeah. I go through this feeling every 4 months.
Yeah, I know. Elevating the style.
And then going back to normal.
Yeah, casual, formal. It is a, it is.
I know, because you start seeing like girls, there's some girls in the scene that I'm like, impeccable dressing.
Yes.
Never repeating an outfit, and it's just like well put together, and you're like, is that what I need to do? And then you're like, okay, I'll do that. And then you're like, I can't sustain this.
No, yeah, it is exhausting.
It is exhausting. Yeah.
But if you pick like one or two things that you're like one of, for me, it was like hair done. Like, yeah. I'm just going to start committing, getting my hair cut regularly, committing, like blowing it out. Like if you have your hair done and then you have like, you know, one or two other pieces, or you have like hair done, nice shoes, you know, like something like that, where you're like, okay, I'm just elevating in like this area, then it's more manageable, I think.
Yeah. I love sneakers. I'll wear nice sneakers on stage.
There you go.
Yeah. I feel like it gives me confidence. I did like have like extra revealing clothes on once, just because I was just last minute went to a show with it there, and then they were like, but I thought it was a show because it was for and I'm gonna pronounce this wrong, Eid, how do you say, E-I-D?
E-I-D?
Is it Eid or Eid?
I don't know what that is. Is it a band?
It's like a Muslim celebration.
Oh.
Oh, that was just recently, right? It was a big holiday.
Yeah, and I know like a lot of my friends celebrated. So the show, I just presumed, was going to be only Muslim comedians. But the host was like, oh, no, there's like, Gus is also on the show, so we'll throw you up. And I was like, but I'm not wearing clothes. And so the first thing I did when I got on stage was like, I'm so sorry, I'm barely dressed. And they were all like just staring at me like, I don't know, I don't care.
Yeah, we're like, we are in America. Like, we've adapted to the culture here. Yeah.
And I'm still wearing more clothes than probably most people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You're wearing a shirt, so that's saying a lot in this day and age.
Yeah, yeah.
Where like tops are bras now. It's either your bra is your entire outfit, or you have no bra. You've never had a bra.
Yeah, I'm not into like wearing super revealing stuff. I like to, you know, because I feel like...
I'm so self-conscious of my midsection.
Yeah, I'm self-conscious, and like out. I think also like for the stage, it's just like you don't want to be like sexualized.
You,
I mean, maybe you, somebody does, and that's fine. I just don't either.
I can't handle that kind of attention.
I just can't.
I just don't like to be seen that way. Where I'm just not comfortable. Being sexualized.
Obviously, like Leland, we both have jokes about each other. And he also has a lot of jokes about my own stream of consciousness, by the way. So things that I've said to him that he's laughed at have now turned into bits for him. But
Seems like that should be your bit, though, because you're the one who thought it.
I know,
right?
But he's also had the reaction where it's like,
oh, okay,
what you said was crazy.
Okay.
Because I asked him if he had a soul once, but whatever. Yeah. Apparently that's like a weird thing to ask. But no, he had this bit about like going down on me, but it's like a very graphic, and I never want to censor, because obviously we talk, like, we're so graphic on the podcast and we talk, but I was like, I can't have you doing that bit when comedians know it's me, or the managers or anything because I will feel sexualized. I don't need them knowing about my, like, because I was like, it's different with the podcast and it's all, but it's like, I'm in that club. We're in the same club. I do everything to not seem like a sexual being to these people because I want to have equal, I want to have the same respect as a man. So I don't want them.
Absolutely.
And he was like 100%. So now he just says it's about his ex, which is great.
Easy peasy.
Like, whatever.
Oh yeah. That's an easy fix. I mean, I'm the same way though. Like you have to have boundaries when you're dating somebody. It's not like open season. Yeah. Like, and it's also not censoring. It's like, I want to be perceived as a professional. And like when you are a woman, you already have like things counting against you, namely being a woman in a male dominated industry. So it's like, and you have to take care with stuff like that.
It's so fucking hard. Like, I'm like, it's, I just, everything with the being a woman in the male industry, with all the clips I post and all the comments from men, and you don't even, like, men don't get that, you know, they don't get the mean comments we get from people, because men who are just not comedians are like upset that we're being funny.
Yeah. Well, men do get it though, I will say, because I've been talking to a lot of people lately.
Some hate physical stuff, but I don't think they get the like dismissiveness of just blatantly being like,
women aren't funny, or this is why women are. No, I think there's an extra level for us, for
there
sure.
There is an extra.
Oh yeah, there's
like
an
a
extra
hatred
level.
There's like,
yeah, it's
a
misogyny. Misogyny exists.
We don't. To me, and I might be wrong, but my feeling is, I think we start in a deficit when we go on stage.
We gotta defeat their stereotype
there's,
of women.
I think
funny.
There's a lack of trust when we're on stage, where I feel like people are more trusting of a man. I only say that because I've seen male comics have jokes that I'm like, if I did that, I would get no response or laugh from that bit.
Yeah.
Or even with roasting too. Like, I do feel like I can see men getting away with maybe riskier bits sometimes, or even like with roasting the audience, you have to be very confident as a woman doing it. I do feel that there's like, it's easier to be like, you're being a bitch, or.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that, women do have advantages though.
Oh, really?
In stand-up comedy. Because there's less women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it can work in your favor as well. And also, you know, like if you have like a nice face and you're kind of like seemingly very nice, it is funnier when you say certain things.
Yeah, it's kind of like when an old person does extremely dirty sexually jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sexual jokes, because I feel like people are loving it because it's not expected. So I feel like you can play, I think everybody,
the element of surprise. I'm just saying it's not all bad.
But no,
yeah.
And I don't
misogyny
think it's all
is,
bad, but I do.
It exists.
I love like posting, and I want to like get as many, but that's where I've been seeing it most recent, because all of a sudden it's like, not just because if an audience member is like, you know, I don't really like women or whatever, I don't hear that, and they kind of forget it by the end of the show or whatever. They either laugh or they don't. But now it's the first time I'm seeing, and I'm like, obviously, you know, my guy friends aren't getting the same amount of like hatred that I get on the comments. It's like,
but that hatred is good.
It is good. It helps. It's boosting the algorithm.
That's what Brian said.
Are you noticing it on YouTube a lot? Because I've heard
YouTube's
from a lot of
the worst
girl comics.
It's
that
part
like,
of the ecosystem.
I know.
Yeah.
It's hard though, because I had to pull back because I was like, this is a lot. One guy was like, his handle was like at Stumpy Comedy, and he posted something. It wasn't as mean as everybody else's, but it was just like, quit your day job, which is like, usually I'd reply and be like, or don't quit your day job, and usually I would reply and be like, I already did, bitch. But I was like, interesting name, Stumpy Comedy, and then when I clicked on it, it was like a guy with like severe disability, and he's like a comedian trying to, and I was like, you know what, I'm not even gonna like,
he's got his own
he's angry.
It's like, no, I wonder why he hates women. You know, it's probably nothing to do with you. But I think a lot of those comments, I had a really hard time when I first started getting them, and now it's like, now I've just desensitized myself, but it can help a little bit if you just perceive, you know, when somebody does something to you, they're actually showing a mirror of their own internal experience.
Yeah,
it's like think about like how bad of a place you would have to be in to be going online and writing a heinous comment on somebody's like
weird.
You'd have to be like, I mean, like I would have to be like in a horrific depression, like substance abuse, like nightmare. It's like, these are not like well-adjusted normal people that are doing this. These are like the saddest people in the world. And it's just like, oh, when you write that, it's like, oh, you're just sad and you've just denounced it to everyone. And that's so much sadder.
But that's true. But it's also like a sad reflection of the world, because when you think about it, like how many, okay, if a clip goes viral and there's hundreds and hundreds of men writing like, fuck women, hate women, this is why women are shit or whatever. And there's like women being like really supportive and there's other men being very supportive. But it's like, oh, for me, I'm like, wow, I just didn't realize that it was still that misogynistic or that.
Oh, yeah. Because
I'm not, although I'm sure those men are like living lives and have a wife and have kids or whatever. It's just, so that's not those people, where I know the other people are like, go fucking die or whatever, they might be in a depression or whatever, but these are just men who really hate women.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that misogyny, like racism, is like, it's like you're hating somebody because your life is like sad, like you're a sad, pathetic person.
Yeah,
so I think, like, you know, you could take it however you want. But when I get stuff like that, it makes me feel better if I'm like, oh, this is like a sad, pathetic person. Like, you know, if you like seeing me doing stand up comedy, it upsets you so much that you feel like you need to comment on it. Yeah. Like, you must have nothing going on in your life. Like, you can't stand that like a woman is like doing well.
Yeah.
Like, that's really sad.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it just helps me feel better because it's like, oh, now I'm empowering myself. I'm seeing it from a place of being like, what this really is like, this is a sad person.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. And like, definitely there are, you know, there is misogyny. I mean, like, you know, women like don't even have the same rights as like men in America. So it's like misogyny is real. But like, I don't think that these people are like politically active. They're probably just like voting for Trump unless they're like MAGA people, but they're not like,
I guess it's just you don't see it in your day-to-day life, so then all of a sudden you see it like in 10 minutes and you're like, whoa, you just forget that that's a real thing.
Yeah
And it's funny, it's weird when you see it, you know exactly what it is when you I got on a video recently and it was within the first, and he was like, when is this gonna get funny? And you're like, you are so typical. Like, you're not even original.
They're being so hack.
Yeah. It's just like, and it's so, I'm like, I know you didn't even really watch it. You're just being shitty for the sake of shitty.
Yeah, because your life is sad.
It is.
It's like, you must be really sad, especially like these guys that are like into comedy. It's like they all want to do comedy. Yeah.
Yes.
That's why they're watching it.
Well, I've always suspected comedy is just one big pyramid scheme. It is, and all the people that are supporting it are just people that want to do stand up.
Yeah.
A guy did message me recently, and if he listens to his podcast, please don't be upset or offended, but it's just the recent of multiple men doing this where they ask to, well, he didn't even ask, can you watch this clip? He said, hey, I can't send my 5-minute clip here, have you got an email? And I like politely replied, and again, if you listen to this, I just have too much to do about my own stuff. I can't be writing. It would have never occurred to me when I started out comedy to ever send anything to anybody, because you know, you just go to mics, you work on it, and you build relationship with comedians, and then
that's
eventually.
Nice that you even send them a message. I mean, that's like more than a lot of people would do.
I know. Well, I find lately I've done 2 podcasts with you and then Adrian, and I have found there is a particular male listener that I feel like ends up being, now I'm responsible for emotional labor.
Yes,
them, and that becomes like a weird territory.
It's like a different form of misogyny.
Yes.
It's like emotional vampirism misogyny, where it's like, I don't hate women, I love them, but I think they should do everything for me
and cater to everything I say, or if they don't respond back to me, they're awful.
Yeah, we had a guy who sent us like 4 emails in a row. He was in our $20 Patreon tier, and like the emails were just like, I was gonna get back to them. I was gonna like get back to them, but it's like, I don't know what you think I'm doing in my life, where it's like I'm dropping everything because somebody sent me an email that was like mansplaining.
Yeah.
First of all, where it was just like, I actually know what I'm doing. I mean, I probably know what I'm doing better than you do. I'm not like a podcast marketer, but like, I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
And I've also like been a freelance business person for like 15 years. So like, you don't need to let me know. But anyway, he canceled the subscription right after that. It's like, if you want to pay like $20 a month, that's great, but it's like therapy costs a lot fucking more than that. So
I can't
fucking cough it up if you like expect us to be like bending over backwards for you. But please join our Patreon.
But it's also like, people expect too much.
Lady
so
Journey.
Like, You know, at one stage I was doing 4 solo episodes a week and putting the podcast episodes up a week early and like putting a video only there. And now I've pulled back a bit, and it's like, because I like, and I'm really glad all the Patreon listeners who are supporting are great and they're chill about it. A few people deleted, but it's also like you're paying $5 a month for like 4 extra hours and that, so that's too much. And then I'll have, I got a comment recently on like a video of my stand up and it was like, oh, the audio has been so bad recently and your audio on your podcast is bad. And I know he's just talking about the Zoom episodes because, you know, but they're in Ireland. You know, if I want to get a guest on from Ireland, you're just going to have to... But I got so frustrated because I'm like, you're getting free content. You want, if you want, like sign up to my Patreon, send me fucking $20 and be like, here or whatever. Like, stop, don't be complaining. What do you think this is? You think I'm a famous? You think I'm Andrew Schultz? You think
I don't have a team.
It's a different type of, it's a different type of dysfunction, I think, where it's like, this is like another flavor of misogyny where it's like, I like you and I want to like create a power dynamic where I'm telling you something, I'm like doing a criticism on you, because then like you know, he probably has like some kind of like boner for you, but he wants to like insert himself in a way like guys aren't comfortable in a power dynamic where like the woman, it's like you're a fucking boss, you're putting out your own clips, you're writing, you're doing all this own shit. Like, this guy doesn't like that, you know? Yeah. Like, he wants to be the one that's like, well, I helped Katie Boyle. Yeah. Or if he's Irish, well, I helped Katie Boyle.
Irish from the 1800s.
Lucky charms.
What is audio?
Sorry to be hacky with my Irish accent. But, like, but yeah, I know. I noticed that, like, a lot of times, like, where with other dudes where it's like, I just think it's an interesting dynamic that men try to insert where it's like, well, you actually don't know what you're doing, but I know what I'm doing.
It's we get a lot of that. Like, it's your audio is off. I'm like, you're the only one that's complaining. And if I go any louder, my audio will be in the red. And it'll sound like a McDonald's. Like, like
we're peaking. We're peaking.
Also, what do you think? You're getting a free podcast, free clips. Oh, the person that you're supporting is doing stand up every night, recording multiple podcasts a week, and then having to fucking figure out how to download this 86 gigabyte bullshit video.
Because
I don't know why it has to be. In what world do you. Drives me up the fucking wall.
I don't think they're thinking like that. I think it's more like. I actually think it's like a subconscious thing of like having a boner for somebody and then like not even thinking and being like, oh, I should tell her what she's doing wrong. Like, I should actually help her. She needs my help. It's like, ugh, no, we don't.
I've had that.
We can fucking ruin our podcast on our own.
It's weird. We've talked about this before. I was like, I've had male relationships in my life that aren't Joe or my husband that I've started to realize, like, all of a sudden I feel like I'm just like their support animal. Yeah. And I'm getting those people out of my life. Like, I had a guy friend that would just at 2 a.m. in the morning on Facebook Messenger be like, we need to talk. I'm like, we don't need to talk.
Do you have cancer?
Are we breaking up right now?
Like, put it in an email.
Like, we're not in a relationship. Yeah. We do not need to talk. Like, I shouldn't even be talking to you in this realm. Like, we should, if I see you, it should be a fun hang. And then when we get together within our whatever sketch group or improv group that we've met, that's where our relationship is. But we're not in a dialogue back and forth.
Yeah. But people do that. They trauma bond in friendships as well, not just in dating. Yes. And then it's all of a sudden like, oh my God, I got this. I've had to even, and it's, there's like two sides. Yes, there's with guys as well where I become like their therapist because they won't go to fucking therapy. So I have all these guy friends and I've had to pull back on that too. But also sometimes with girlfriends as well where I've had to be like, okay, I need to make sure I put in a boundary here because friendships should be fun. You know, I can't be everybody's fucking support system.
And I work on that on myself too, of like, you know, I get through depression and I'm like making sure after my hangs, maybe I'm going through it in my head too much. I'm like, did I dump? Am I dumping on my friends? Is this something that I don't need? I don't want to put them in a position where they're constantly having to build me up.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating. And I know I do it sometimes. So I have to be like aware of it.
We all do it. Well, it's like
It's tricky though, like with women, I feel like women are so, we're like socialized to be like so caretaker. Open and be like, yeah, like, oh, like it's okay, like what happened? And then it's like next thing you know, like now it's been 4 hours and like this guy is like having a meltdown, where it's like my boyfriend, like I think I've told you this before, like my boyfriend Mike, he does not abide that shit. Like Mike would be like, oh yeah, cool, I'm putting my headphones in now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he would
respect.
Yeah,
I gotta get that.
Absolutely. Like yeah. He will be on a train with somebody. Hey, oh my god, I'm putting in my headphones now.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like just he doesn't. And I don't even think it's that he doesn't care. I think that he and his mind is less like, oh, I don't want to talk anymore, so I'm gonna put in my headphones. And like the other person, like they're an adult, like they can deal with their life. And like at first I was like, god, you're so rude. Meanwhile I'm like stuck accommodating the other person.
And
I'm like,
you're resenting them because yeah. You're like, they wasted my time, I didn't get to do any of my projects. Yeah. When you could have just formed your boundary and it would have been fine.
I could have just put in my headphones.
Yeah,
I didn't have them. I didn't have them. I'm just like covering my ears. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going now.
Yeah. No, I had a friend do that on the train. I knew her through 12-step program. I ran into her and we caught up for 5 minutes, but we still had quite a bit. And she's like, all right, I'm going to go read my book. And there was not one part of me that was like, that was rude.
Yeah.
I was like this. I love that.
Hero. Yeah. You deserve the Nobel Peace Prize.
I mean, stop. It's life changing. Because like my therapist would have said that I'm like a real people pleaser. Mm. And like always, you know.
Yeah.
And so once I learned that, I've done things where I've seen comedians on the train that I don't want to get stuck in conversation with, where I've been like, oh, it's so great to see you. And
I don't approach.
Like, I'm just going to play my card game.
Yeah.
And they never get offended. And it's been such a like, because I was the same. I never wanted to be rude. But it's like, oh, you don't.
And then you're perpetuating the conversation because you think they want to stop talking. But they also are like,
they're like,
yeah, you're like, so I want to play on how my many brothers and sisters you have. It's so much better to just like say hi and then go over it. Whereas like I do what you do, where I'm like, I see someone from a 30 yard stare, I start planning to avoid them. I'm like, mask on, hat on, I am now in a spy film.
Yeah.
Because I cannot be caught in an awkward interaction, or I'll just like stare straight ahead, just walk right past them.
Yeah, where all you're like, I'm so enthralled in my phone right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Snake, I'm playing Snake. The original.
I have though had like, you know, like a bad day where you're like seeing a comedian that you just like, especially because there's some guy comedians who are like, did you guys have that energy bunny rabbit ad here?
The energizer bunny, fucking batteries.
And they're just like, bah, 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 bah. That's like, yeah. So some of these like younger comics as well, and I'm like, I can't deal with it, so I have gotten off the train.
Oh yeah, you're like, this is my stop, and then I'll you're wait. Just like walking across the bridge.
Yeah. 10 minutes for the next book. Yeah, walking across 59th Street.
And that's, I sometimes think that's the lady experience. Things take us longer because we're trying to avoid male interaction.
The pink tax.
Yeah.
Well, so when I was, we were just, female comics were talking about this last night, about how like, there's something about like when you're with a woman comic where you can be like, you know, you could be like, I can't put you up in a minute, or you could be more direct. You're like, I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. And you're like, and the woman's always like, I got this, no worries. Like,
yeah, you but do
the,
you.
The guy, the male comedian's egos are so sensitive sometimes. Like, and we'd just been talking about it. And then later that night, oh no, sorry, the night before, but I had a fucking really icky set because this guy kept heckling me so bad that Chief had to interrupt him, and he was in the front row. And it was just a fucking ugh. Like I felt like ugh when I got off.
Yeah.
And I'm coming out and a comedian's coming in, and he went like to hug me like, hi Katie, but I kind of, and I was just like, and then he was, yeah. I heard him just go, okay. And I'm like, and I had to turn around, and I was like,
why are we hugging?
I'm like, I'm getting off stage. Stop. I had my camera, my
don't
my
ever
recorder,
hug.
And I was like, hey, don't okay me, I'm getting off stage, I have my recorder, I'm not. And he was like, oh yeah, no, I just, and I'm like, it's not about you, I just, this is a bad
but
audience.
Who was Absolutely. It write the name down in my phone because I want to know who it was.
No, I can't say who because he actually is a really? Nice person. It's just a lot of the nice guys that we know, they just have, I've had things like that where a comedian messaged me being like, you didn't say hi to me at New York, like are you annoyed with me? And I'm like, we're not even that close friends. I
don't
was,
know you
yeah, like I was just I, in the corner.
I get like I like really turn on people when they do stuff like that. I'm not kidding.
How dare you?
Yeah, like yeah. I don't know you. Yeah. I don't dislike you. I don't fucking know you.
Actually, and also, how about we're in a work environment and I'm going to see you again. So maybe one day I'm like busy.
Yeah, how or, about like, it's I not can't, time I... for mother's embrace. Yeah. Okay, you fucking chooch. Hi. But let me say something though about like guys going early. Like I, or like what you were saying earlier about like when people come in and they're like, oh no, like I just had a set or whatever. Like I really early on learned that like that's actually like a sign of weakness. Like if people are like, oh, like so-and-so's not here, but he doesn't want to go early. Can you go? I never do it. I'm like, no, yeah. I can't. I'll go at my time because yeah. then people will just, it's not even necessarily a woman thing. It's like yeah. they're looking to see which comedian won't get upset. And it's like, if I'm third on the show, like I'm not going first because yeah. the guy who's second doesn't want to go and yeah. the first guy's not coming. Like, I don't care. Like, you guys can figure it out.
Yeah. It's
I'm here for my time. Yeah. It's not my issue.
I would never do that. I'll be like amenable. I'll be like, I'll go first. But I recently did set the boundary, which was great because I saw that they were going over and it would have went into checks. And I went up to the producer. And I was like, because I worked that club all the time, and I was like, you're going over, I'm not going next because it's going to go into checks and I'm not doing checks.
Yeah, you
and
have
they were
to,
like, okay, cool. They
you
were
have
like,
to, yeah,
yeah. Fuck that. No, I'd and already been pushed back that. As well because three seller comedians had come and they needed to run off. And all
it was us, probably. We worked there.
Yeah, yeah. But all the other comic was saying is that when they say it to a lady comic or whatever, yeah. seems is always a little, but a guy can get like a little. There's like a, it's like the, you know, the way they say women are emotional. I find male comedians
male
more
are
emotional.
Oh, yeah, yeah, uh-huh, absolutely. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. And you're like, yeah. well, you're like, you kind of.
Any group dynamic I've ever been in, like improv or sketch or yeah, podcast or whatever.
Yeah.
It's always been the male ego is what we're doing.
The male ego is just so precious. But you do have to, it's good to set the boundary with stuff like that because it's like freelancing. When I first graduated college, I read this book that was great. It's called My So-Called Freelance Life. And I was like, this is my Bible. And I was like carrying it around, but it had something in there about like, when you are a freelance person and you work in a place that has like fuzzy boundaries, you do have to like elevate yourself to the point that you're like, you know, in the same way that you'd be like, I'm not doing checks anymore. I don't do checks. I'm not doing the check spot at the show just because the check person isn't. You have to do that because no one outside of you will do that for you.
Oh, absolutely. You I know? Remember my dad saying, he says that, he always says that saying to me, why buy the cow and you get the milk for free.
Yeah,
but there was another comedy club and they weren't paying me, so my dad was like, why would they bother paying you when you're just going? So I just stopped submitting my avails, and then 2 months later they started paying me.
Yeah,
yeah. You have to do it, so that's awesome.
But I've heard this with ladies in the workplace, they deal with this, I think it's called soft work, where all of a sudden they only go to the female workers to do the party planning.
Yeah.
And these are jobs that are like not really part of your job description. Yeah. Or what you should be doing, or ordering the lunches for everybody, that you should say no to these jobs.
Yeah. And never bring like cookies or anything into your work unless the males are doing it, unless you're a chef. Yeah.
Well, I always say in comedy, my rule of thumb lately in the last year is conduct yourself like a white male would.
Yes. Yeah. What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do?
I love saying no. And if I hadn't went to therapy, I wouldn't have learned to say no. And now yeah. I say, and like, because even people, friends will send me a joke to like watch over or whatever. And it could be like an example was recently someone did it at 2 a.m. And old me would have jumped out of watching my fucking zombie series to like watch it and like tell them how to edit it. And like, because a lot of people always ask for my TikTok advice and stuff like that. But I was like, this is 2 a.m. This person can wait till tomorrow. So
yeah. Welcome to 30.
It's so good. I love saying no now. I'm just like, and people don't get offended. They're like, okay, you know, it's fine. You set your boundaries.
Yeah, you don't have to explain yourself either. That was the one that I learned late. Is no, like, you can
no,
just
I'm sorry, I've had an abortion. You're like coming up with, I would do that too, where I'd just be like, I telling my life story, and people are like, what is this? It's a paragraph.
I know. Yeah. I've actually,
and you're like, why are you unloading?
Yeah, it's so, you know, that step where you're like writing the paragraph and then you go, wait, and then you edit it to just like, I can't today.
Yeah,
it's like such a growth.
Sorry,
oh my God.
Goodbye.
Well, I had a boss do that, telling me something because he couldn't, because his wife just had a miscarriage, and I'm like, made me mad. I was like, I don't need to know that. That's not my
First of all, did you have the miscarriage?
Yeah.
I think you're fine.
Oh, yeah. Did you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are your balls sore? The people I work with are great. And I found as well, it's all men. I found as well that when I stopped running around doing the extra stuff or whatever, you actually get a bit more respect too.
You
and
do.
It's like, or just being like, when they're like, oh, can you pick up a shift? No, I can't. Instead of, no, I actually have a comedy thing I have to write. Just like, no, I can't. And they're like, it's fine. A past job that I worked at. One of the owners came, and my coworker is a guy, and we were talking about different things that he says to me, and he'll be like, Katie, switch the music, but he's closer to the music, and it like really irritates me because it's like, fucking switch it yourself.
Yeah.
And he'll spill oil, but he wasn't like cleaning it up, and that's like not my, I'm coming into a mess, like that's not my job.
Yeah.
And it's like very frustrating, things like that. So my coworker, when he was coming in to take over, he was like, this is misogyny. He was like, he doesn't talk to fucking me like that.
No.
And I was like, okay. So then a couple of weeks later, the owner and the new manager are standing behind the bar, and it's where I pour the beer. So I go up to pour, and I go, can you move out of my way? So I said like that, can you move out of my way? And he goes, are you going to say please? And I go, you're being misogynist. And he fucking jumped, and he was like, well, no, I'm not. And I go, would you say that to the male coworkers? Also, I shouldn't have to say please. You shouldn't be behind the bar. I'm trying to serve the customers.
Yes.
And I feel like a bad bitch.
Gosh,
I know. And he just goes,
I would love this in a movie. I would be cheering you on.
Yes, absolutely. And then you stab him.
You
stab him.
I smashed the pint glass and I cut his throat.
Like,
but he brought it up later. He was like, yeah, when you got so annoyed because I asked you to say please. And I was like, no, it's because you were like, little girl, say please to me. And that's disgusting.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, bye.
Well, I think a lot of people, guys, don't realize what they're doing. I really don't. I do believe that.
They think they're like being funny.
Yeah, I think like, they're also conditioned that way too.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to point that shit out.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
What else before we end this? Is there anything more specific with so Lady Journey that you want the listeners to know about that you guys?
Well, we'd love for you guys to listen to us. We're looking for people to listen to the podcast. That's the number one thing.
Tell us your journeys, and also you don't have to stick with them. I just like hearing about them. You know, whenever somebody's just like, I'm doing this, I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, tell
like
me
yoga
about
for
that.
6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm done.
Absolutely. We're on all podcast platforms. We have a blog, ladyjourney.org. We're on Spotify. We have a Patreon. If you do listen to us, we would love it if you would give us a 5-star review. I guarantee you that it is a 5-star podcast.
Yeah. Give
it
me
is.
A 5-star review while you're at it.
Yeah. Yes.
Also, I think it's important for any of the male listeners to listen as well, because I feel like loads of guys have messaged me being like, I did not know women go through. I didn't know
we
how
have
expensive
a lot of male
tampons
listeners.
Were. Tampons? I can't even say it. I'm so angry by
like
the
way you Irish tampons.
Tampons are. And like, you know, or just like, you know, vagina stuff that they've heard on this being like, I didn't know, you know? So it's like really important because that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, they don't know. They don't know how we feel until they hear.
Yeah, yeah. What bothers us.
We have a violent rage deep inside.
Yeah, we smash that pint glass and stab people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was flipping out at Mike during Roe v. Wade. I was like, get it, get it. He's like, I am on your side. I am on your side. And then the next day we woke up and he just looked at me and he was like, are you going to lash out at me again today? Yeah. He's so funny. He's supportive.
Yeah. No, my boyfriend's great as well. But yeah, they just, he was just like, yeah. And I'm like trying to have like a conversation of it. And he's like, no, it's bad.
Yeah. It's like, guys, they like cannot understand what we're going through because they just have a different life. So. That's okay, though.
They're
doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Well, they also take it personally, and you're like, no, we're just, like, annoyed by the generalness of it. It's not you we're mad at, specifically.
Or sometimes
like,
it is.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a general for the most part.
Yeah.
I have had arguments with my boyfriend, though, where I've been like, I also want you to know that I'm also annoyed about the misogyny in this. So it's not him necessarily, but it's like, it's frustrating that my role in this relationship is to be able to explain our communication, our emotions, because you haven't been taught that, you know? And
yeah,
that's,
or they don't do the administrative side of the relationship.
Yeah, the emotional labor and the scheduling. Yeah, it's frustrating.
And it's like my therapist was like, you just gotta be patient because, you know, you're doing the work and they're not doing the work, but it is frustrating because you're like...
It feels time consuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mental, a lot of mental real estate.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, he makes me tea every morning and he's amazing. So
see,
we guys have that do too. Their own things too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in a partnership where it's like, sometimes I think you get in that like women's pain body from the Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. They talk about like when a woman like experiences like a misogyny, it kind of actually like triggers like a deep pain of like misogyny that she's experienced. And sometimes you can be like projecting it onto your relationship when in fact the other person is a good person and they do their own thing.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I was just saying to a friend recently, because an issue was the person would go to therapy, and I was like, look, I would love, I think all men should go to therapy. But I was like, you know, it's only worth doing the emotional labor if they're also coming up on this other side, if they're bringing all these other things to the table. But if they're not like being there for you and being supportive and being kind and being generous, then it's not also worth giving them fucking free therapy. You know, and I think that's the, like, it's like
emotional gold digging.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And like, I'm sure there's things with, you know, with my boyfriend, like he's very patient and I was like, you know, there's like things, but it's, yeah, it has to be worth giving them. Like, I give him secondhand therapy from my therapist. I literally go and be like, so he said he was feeling like
this. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take him a while longer to realize that it's okay to, I think men come to therapy. It's harder for them to go to therapy than for us for whatever reason. I don't know if it's like the ego thing or.
I think it's just toxic masculinity.
Yeah. And not having the words. So Irish people struggle with that. We don't have the word for the emotion. It's like, I don't know what this is, but you know, I don't
know how to Irish. Yeah. So, Irish people just repress.
Yeah. I've had loads of things with Leland where I've been like, I can't, I just feel her. And then my therapist is like, this is how you're feeling.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't realize why I had that with my dad once. I was like, I don't know why that angered me. He was like, because your boundaries were crossed. And I was like, oh my God, I never. Yes. That's exactly. I just needed somebody to articulate it.
Yeah.
And the way that I understood it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So wait, is there a
Lady Journey is our podcast.
Instagram?
YouTube.
We have at Lady Journey Podcast on Instagram. We have a YouTube. We have a blog, ladyjourney.org. And we also have a TikTok, Lady Journey Podcast.
Yeah.
You guys have everything. I need to get all these things too. If there's any interns listening who want to potentially do all that stuff but want to make money from it in the future, please.
Yeah. It's an investment.
Yeah.
Like a regular internship.
Data analytics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, what?
You got to get interns that know data analytics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what we also want.
Yeah.
If there's two of you.
Instead of these comments of you should set your audio to 5 instead of 6, how about someone who's willing to come on and do the work for both of us? Yes.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Was that everything we needed to cover? I think so.
No, this is great. Thanks for having
us,
Katie.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah, you guys are great. You. Okay.
I could talk forever.
I know. I'm like, I'm just getting warmed up. So we do like a 7-hour session. We're like,
I know that Sam's sitting outside. So I'm also like,
oh, Sam's out there. Oh, whoopsie. Yeah.
Get
him in here.
Yeah, Sam, you can come in. Okay. Love everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.